Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming.
Well, due to technical difficulties yesterday on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard last week's program. Here's what we wanted you to hear.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday. It's December 11th. Oh, wow. 1-2-1-1-1-8.
What are you doing?
That's a date.
Oh, okay.
1-2-1-1-1-8. It's 2018, at least for another, let's see, 20 days, 31 days. Yeah, about 20 more days. The countdown begins as we get closer to Christmas, as we look forward to the singing men and the children's choir singing again, and maybe some other special guests. We're working that all out. And, you know, moments ago I was saying, Marianne, I don't know, I don't really have much. I think I was so overly enthusiastic yesterday. I spewed all the verbiage I needed to say. And then I thought, oh, you know what? I haven't talked about the scripture memory, so we could get on a tangent on that before we read a chapter or two from your book. But a lot of neat things happening. If you were tuned in yesterday, you heard a special reading from Dee Chesler on her front page article on this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, The Forgotten Gift.
Great article.
Oh, it was a great time just to hear her heart up close and personal. It was her father that, you know, and she's been a nurse, but it was her father that went through this. And then she saw it as like a real ministry that we can all have, even if the person 3 minutes later, a minute later, forgets what you just said. For that moment, they might have really connected or smiled or laughed or enjoyed the memory. And
you know, when I read Dee's article, I told her, I said, it really put me in touch with the fact that there's things like in childhood. I'm sure I don't really remember like a certain day when we were having dinner, a certain night, but I remember a lot of feelings. And even if I don't remember that, I know that those times impacted me.
Yeah.
And that really helped me understand from her article. Yeah. I mean, just because somebody doesn't remember doesn't mean you didn't bless them and help them and talk to them and give to them.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And she spelled out that as a child, one of her examples, similar to what you're saying, she knew her parents were in the other room.
They had
conversation going on, and she couldn't really discern or understand all that they were saying, but it gave her warm feelings and contentment and feeling safe, and there were smells associated with them. I don't know if they were hot cocoa or something that was being cooked or made, and all that was an experience that she cherished.
Yeah.
Well, so,
in her article, she said she was listening as her parents drank egg coffee. And I'm probably going to sound really ignorant right now, but have you ever heard of that?
No.
Ever?
No.
I'm like, that's different.
Yeah. So
have to look that one up on Google.
Oh, yeah. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, I invite you to go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, archive programs page, and you'll see Dee's name. And then I did a little recap on the children's choir. I got kind of overly enthusiastic.
Oh.
You know how I have somebody in the studio, but it's about 8 minutes before they get to talk because I'm recapping everything. But it wasn't quite that bad. But Dee is a great sport, a great co-director of the children's choir, and a great content contributor.
She is.
And so it was fun. If you stop by the radio station or my Facebook page, you'll see a picture of her leading the children in one of the selections that were sung. And I think the children this Thursday, they're going to be working on two more songs for Marketplace Mall on the 22nd. So come on out. It's going to be a great event. It's going to happen at noon in the food court. So they have a lot of seating set up. You can come and have lunch and enjoy an hour and a half with the singing men of GNN. And just make it a festive time now that we're in this Advent season and all that's going on. So,
yeah
it was a great event. But the scripture memory,
I
was thinking, you know, okay, Marianne, we can probably read two or three chapters today. I don't have much to say.
How many we knocked off, two or one?
Yeah, that's right. But I am working on the scripture memory, and I'm thinking of turning Mondays into memorization Mondays.
Oh, hey, I'm with you.
Where we'll talk about scripture memory. In fact, this book, it's like 100 best Bible verses that everyone should memorize or everyone should know.
You were telling me about it that one day.
Oh, yeah.
You're excited. Well, do it now.
I've read about four or five times.
What have you memorized?
Oh, a bunch. But over the years. In fact, I used to do this a lot, probably 5, 6, 8, 10 years ago. In fact, I can't even find. I have this humongous Ziploc bag with all the verses I used to put on the back of
business
cards.
So funny, you don't remember where it is, right?
Yeah. Well, Holly would move. And
did you get the whole memory joke there?
Yeah. And I'm probably going to have people come in and read a portion of these chapters. These chapters are all like 3 or 4 pages.
That's
so they're
great.
Very simple, but they're very powerful. And I think as I read it over the air, there won't be a person not convinced that it's something important to do.
That's,
I mean,
oh,
if you do, in fact, believe that the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is God's inspired word, you know, useful to correct, to train, you know, in righteousness, and you know it came from God, and it's to instruct us, to bless us, to guide us, why would we not want to think about it, memorize it, talk about it? Mm-hmm. And then, so each of these chapters brings another point of conviction. It's like, it's so true. And then he does disclaimers like, now I know when you're 60, 70, 80, it's going to be harder to memorize than when you were 5, 6, and 10, and 12, when your brain worked differently. Yeah, so he like builds that into the argument.
That's
yeah,
great.
It might take you a little longer, but get a word down. Get three words down. Get a verse down. Don't worry about doing 10 verses or a chapter. Get
That's
a verse down. And so then he said, if you can do one verse, do you think you can do two? And so I'm going to have people, or I'm going to read through some of that and then start a series, maybe in January.
That's great.
And I'm working on trying to get the author of this book. He wrote it about, I think, 6 or 8 years ago. And I think he's written like 20 or 30 other books, but I'm trying to schedule that and then see if they can give me discounted copies of the book so they I can have them available
Perfect.
For people. And I will see how it all comes together. But primarily, I'm already working on some of the verses now and at bedtime. Because I know Esther, who's so sharp, is going to memorize them so quick.
Yeah, you're
and I got to get ahead because she's going to be like, I got that one, Daddy. Come on, let's go on to the next one, and I won't be ready. So I'm kind of practicing behind the scenes and working on, you know, the first ones are really
easy. Got your flashlight out with the book up.
That's right. Under the cover. So, what are you doing, Daddy? Nothing.
Nothing.
Going
to sleep. Go on, go to bed.
So I want to work when I drive her to school.
That's
you know?
Great,
and then
Mark.
I used to do this with Stu once in a while. We'd do every other, say, one of my favorites. I think one of the first ones I ever memorized, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
This is your brother, Stu.
Yeah. So I
doubt
would say,
he ever saw you with a flashlight under the covers memorizing scripture.
No, we would go back and forth. I'd
Stu,
say trust.
Weigh in.
And then he'd say in. And I'd say the.
Really?
Lord. And lean not on your own.
Oh, my word.
So that way we both would really have it.
That's
so
a great way
say,
to do that.
And it's kind of fun, and you have somebody else holding you accountable and working it. So he would do every other
That's
word.
That's great.
So we'd do it together and see if we'd come out with the right verse
That's
when it was
really
all said
neat.
And done. And I used to have a practice when I was at the Fisher Tower all that time. I'd usually try to work on one a week. It all varied. But I'm just more convinced now than ever. And he said it's a lost art. People aren't memorizing scripture anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be so many youth camps or times where children did that. They even did it in school. He talks about when they removed the Bibles from school, there were still small town schools and stuff, still had scripture memory. It was just a part of the American culture. Even if you weren't religious, it was still, a historical book, a great book, a literature that was valued.
Yeah.
Where now it's not only devalued, but, it's too religious or you can't read it or memorize it. But he talks all about that. So I'm thinking
That's
come
great.
January, we'll talk a little more about it, and I'll see who I can pull along on this journey. And then it's going to cause me to be accountable, because if I'm talking about scripture memory and doing it over the air, that was, how's your verse coming this week? Oh, I can work on that one again.
Monday already?
Yeah. How's that verse last week? I almost got it. But I'm already working on a few of these. They're pretty easy, and they give you shorter ones.
You're trying to get a jump start.
Yeah, I want to get a jump start on all of you. So when you ask me, what's your verse this week, I'll be all in. So
that's so great.
But I totally feel God would have this be an important part of my life, and I hope many of the listeners, they'll see the value.
I would think so.
And these chapters, I'm just telling you, when we read them over the air, it would be hard for you not to at least think, I need to spend a little more time reading and studying. And he says it frames your mindset. You know, there's a part of when you memorize something and then it becomes more than just words.
Mm-hmm.
How you start using it, how you start thinking about it, how it influences your decisions, how you sleep, what you think about. I mean, all the things that's one of the reasons why God gave us the word. So, and then Jesus being the word and I don't know. I'm just more convinced now.
We're practically starting now.
Yeah, that's right.
This is good. I love it.
Oh, and I just think Memorization Monday. And then I know of a couple people.
It even rhymes. I love it.
Yeah, Herb Coates. I think he's working on memorizing all of Romans.
Oh, my word. The whole book?
Yeah, the whole book of Romans. And then Jonathan,
his
assistant, he's got nearly like a third or two-thirds of all the New Testament memorized. So these are two people I thought we'd come in and they would talk a little about it.
Yeah, they will.
And then maybe they'd read a little chapter.
Wow.
And so I know some of you out there have already, when I mentioned this a few weeks back, said, when are you going to launch it? What are you going to do? I'm getting resources, this book, 100 Bible verses that everyone should know, something like that. And I should know the author, but I'm not memorizing the author's name. I'm just looking at it at night or some nights. But, you know, you can get all the verses downloaded. So I've already ordered some business card size, you know, these little plastic business cards that you can put the verse in and then hold. But I'm trying to get the Navigator ones where it used to have the outside of plastic so you could look at your verse. And then the ones that you already memorized or have worked on, you put inside. So you have one visual right there that you keep in your pocket. And so you just pull out and you see it. Right now, the one I have, you have to open it up to look at it.
Hey, do you remember, Mark, those little bread box, plastic bread box, and they had scriptures?
Oh, sure.
And we used to have that on the table, and we'd pull it out, and somebody read it before each meal. And then you put it in the back of the little plastic bread box.
Holly has one of those without the bread box. It's like a...
Yeah.
Square.
Yeah.
And we do that sometimes, but our schedules are still so crazy on when we're having dinner and when we're seated.
Sit in the middle of the Texas Roadhouse table, and people go, what are they doing over there?
Yeah, that's right. So, I think God's been stirring this in my heart for a while.
That's
great.
And so,
like always, we're maybe announcing it a little early before it's all figured out. But I'm thinking Memorization Mondays. That way we start everyone's week off with at least one verse every Monday.
I love it.
Then we talk about it. I think getting the author interviewed and then reading these chapters. They're short, like I said, over a period of January, February.
Mm-hmm. I'm in. I love it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great. I think it'll be transformational.
I do too. I feel like it's God inspired.
Oh yeah, and it's His word.
Well, yeah.
And I always felt so strongly in the past about reading it, knowing it, and I don't know, not that I've gotten away from it, but I have gotten away from it from some of the patterns that I've had, and so I just figure it's time, and hopefully, you know, for the next 20, 30, 40 years, that'll be a part. He was talking about Cliff Barrows or some of the guys a part of the Billy Graham Association, that they were memorizing scripture like every single day. Maybe not a new verse, but they would work on it.
Going over their memories, memorization.
Day.
Yeah.
And that influenced their writing. Oh, who's that great? Fanny Crosby?
Yeah.
I guess she memorized thousands of verses.
Was she blind, I think?
Yeah. And, but she had a great memory. They say in this book, so that'll be one of the things that gets referenced, that she would write all these songs. She might have six or eight songs and never wrote them down or anything, and then would go in and then recite them or mention them and work them all through. But she had such a great handle on scripture, and it talks about how scripture memory will help your brain in other areas, which would be obvious. You know, we'd all say, oh, that's probably true. If you're working on something, it's going to help in other areas. And I just thought getting God's word into our minds is just something that we're all going to do together. Okay, everyone?
I think it's God-led.
Be praying it all up, and that'll probably be around the first of the year.
So
give me a couple more weeks.
You're going to get these books, right?
I hope so. I already ordered a couple. You know, you can go online and Google and get lightly used and large print.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing if I can get a deal from the publishers, you know, to get them under. I think they're generally about $13 each, paperback. It's a good sized book, but I'm hoping that maybe I can get them for $9 or something, you know, affordable for people to come by here and pick them up and then join us.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be great year. I like this.
Memorization Monday. It's right around the corner. So. We'll see. But I am getting that head start because I'm already feeling like...
You're really enthused about it.
Well,
I love it.
And many nights, because I have all 100 printed out on a piece of paper.
This is so funny.
I'm already feeling like I got to get these down because I just know Esther's going to get these right away on the way to school. And she's going to go, come on, Dad, let's go on to the next one. And I'm working on one. It's like John 1:14. And for whatever reason, it's like it's hard to remember the reference.
A little child shall lead them.
Yeah. So
I think that's a scripture. I don't know. It's a saying anyway.
Yeah. All right. We got our copies of Memories of an African Son. Many of these devotional thoughts are worth memorizing certainly worth reading
and being
familiar with. And today we're going to look at Under the Trees.
Yeah.
Chapter 27.
Okay. Chapter 27, Under the Trees. Many of the churches in the villages and areas surrounding the mission station met under trees. The Bible College students all had the well-maintained bicycles that we had purchased with mission money, and they rode out for hours on end sometimes to reach these churches and preach. Some of the churches under the trees had long, wood-hewn benches lined up in rows that were carried off for other uses during the week. Or the benches just stayed under the trees for other types of meetings or activities. In other locations, there were no benches, and church members sat on the ground. In a few places, a school had been built, so we met there. And an aside, the missions had generally built the schools. Definitely always, actually. On hot days, the trees provided shade and protection from the heat. Sometimes a breeze wandered through. Those services under the trees were some of the most beautiful I have ever attended. Some of the services under the trees were held under the ancient baobab trees. The baobab, in many ways a symbol of the African savanna, is an enormous tree that grows to a great height and has the ability to store water in its huge trunk. People and animals have actually lived protected in the huge hollow trunks of older baobab trees. Its fruit has a flavor similar to lemon, and its flowers are beautiful. But it's mostly recognizable for its shocking enormity and its upside-down look, as though the roots were on top during the dry season. Other services were under an acacia tree, where we could see the weaver birds with their fascinatingly woven nests dangling from limbs. Whether we were under a baobab or an acacia tree, it always had the sense that we were in a delineated place, not just out in the woods trying to experience nature, as is sometimes done at camps and such. We were there because that is where the church met. It wasn't always optimal. There were the seasonal rains, of course, and then it was hard to meet. But I find I get mildly frustrated at hearing people refer to meeting under the trees for church as somehow primitive. I loved it. Meanwhile, there's certainly nothing wrong with getting a roof over our heads. It's a natural inclination of the human race. Just as birds build their nests and bears go in the caves, as the lions find good, well-shielded areas, and the elephants set off on their journeys to more suitable living arrangements, so humans have always, it seems, set up thatch, wood, cement, or bricks to keep the elements out and keep themselves safe. Our own mission station had a large meeting room in one of the schools that served as our mission church, where many came each Sunday. We had rousing worship, good teaching, and heartfelt prayer in that room. The Zimbabwean people sang simply beautifully. It's like a natural gift. Perfectly gorgeous harmony seemed to just appear like some inherent cultural trait, and those Shona songs were melodious to listen to. Sometimes I feel I can almost still hear the echoes of the singing. I find myself singing them, even now, though I can no longer recall what every word means. Music's like that. It stays with you. But there is something special about worshiping God under the trees, with their swaying branches, as so many have, or a large steadiness, as the baobab tree has. Trees give shelter and provide habitat for so many animals and even other plants. They give a sense of stability to the world, I think. They tend to live a very long time, many for hundreds or even thousands of years. It seems comforting to sit under them, knowing that, and to speak to our Creator with them nearby. The prophet Isaiah said, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations," Isaiah 56:7. Jesus quoted that Hebrew scripture when he cleaned out the temple from those attempting to profit off the people. I don't think it matters where we meet. I think God accepts the worship of the nations in whatever form their buildings take, or in no building. As Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. John 4:23. And as the martyr Stephen said, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. Acts 7:48.
Sounds like some good scripture memory verses.
Hey, it is. We can add that
yeah,
in.
That's right.
It was simpler under the trees. But yes, I know, I don't live there anymore. It was a time, for the most part, that is slipping away. But it was simpler, ever so much more straightforward. It felt clearer to me then, somehow. And at least, it seems to me anyway, the same number of people came to know Jesus. Come to think of it, I think maybe more, if it's a head count we're looking for. Even today, I love to sit under a tree and read God's word and pray. God speaks through nature, and it speaks of Him, too. And He sends His love to us through it. Father, help me to honor whatever you're doing, wherever you're doing it. Move me past any predispositions I may have in regards to appearances, any preconceived ideas. Let me watch for your spirit, for your actions, and make decisions based only on that. Bless my fellow believers wherever they might be meeting today.
Yeah, I love trees too.
Do you?
Our wooded country home has all those trees.
Yeah.
I know I'm out of balance when I'm not walking through the yard, walking underneath the trees, picking up sticks, mm-hmm. just observing nature and, mm-hmm. and loving it, God's handiwork. I always know I'm out of balance if I'm too busy not to walk mm-hmm. my yard.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, love being under the trees and scripture memory under the trees.
Yeah, scripture memory.
We'll wait till it gets a little warmer out to do that.
But, I don't know. You know, the Norwegians say that it's never too cold to go outside. You just aren't dressed properly.
Yeah, there we go.
I read that the other day.
Get the long underwear on, layer the clothing, and
well,
you'll be good to go.
If you're going to live up in one of those northern countries, I guess you have to feel like that.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, great chapter, Under the Trees. It's in Memories of an African Son. You can purchase your copy, your Christmas copies.
Hey, all right.
You can hand
Thank
out
you.
To friends and neighbors here at the Great News Radio Center, 112 Lincoln Square, right across from the food court. We have copies right up at the front. Great Christmas gift, great stocking stuffer.
Thank
great
you.
Book for you to have and to read, and read along with us on Tuesdays typically.
Yeah.
And so.
Typical Tuesday.
Yeah, typical Tuesdays.
Memorize
Monday. Yeah, memorization Monday. Yep. Yeah, we'll see how that gets launched in the new year, and we'll see if we have books available for people to start on that. Some might already be looking and searching that, wanting to get their copies. So
I want to get going right now.
Yeah. So, all right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the radio listening family. I think tomorrow we're going to have a couple special Moody programs. We're in that season where they have all sorts of great ones, and I think maybe on Wednesday and Thursday we'll have those, and then we'll put Joey Crow on.
I was going to say, what about
Joey? We'll see if we can pull that all off. We'll see.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night. As mentioned at the beginning of this program, we had technical difficulties yesterday, so last week's program aired yesterday. And because we didn't want you to miss out on Marianne's new reading and our desire for you to memorize Scripture in the days ahead, we aired it today on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, realizing that the date and some of the remarks are dated. But we're going to let Joey Kroll have off, and we'll have a Moody special tomorrow and Friday. So there you have it. You're in the know. Joey gets the day off tomorrow. Jason gets the day off on Friday. And we'll have some special programming for you during the Thursday and Friday editions of Mark and Friends.